You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome into ESPN FC alongside Stevie Nichol. I'm Sebastian Salazar. Great to be with you. Lots of good football to look forward to this weekend. For more, Craig Burley and Shaka Hislop will be joining us. Guys, let's start what we usually do with a look at the top of the Premier League. City, of course, 10 points clear, but we're focused a little further down the table. Liverpool 6th, Everton 7th with a game in hand. Of course, the two sides will meet Saturday in the Merseyside Derby at Anfield. Now, Liverpool coming off a great result midweek in the Champions League, but when we focus on their league form, not so great. They've lost 3 straight in the Premier League, outscored 8-2 in those matches. Stevie, the league form not good, but can we throw it out the window based on what you saw midweek against Leipzig?
To be honest, I'm going to base this on what I've seen from Everton rather than what I've seen from Liverpool. I think we know Liverpool are going to play some good football. Hopefully they're going to create. The question is, will they take chances and can they defend? And that's kind of been their mantra. I think this is all about Everton. Up until I got out of my bed this morning and looked to see what had been said from Ancelotti about injuries, I kind of changed my opinion because I was very comfortable when I went to my bed the night before. But the fact that Calvert-Lewin's back, you've got Allen back, you've got Hamas, who I think will play as well. So they've kind of, they've got a, as well as Liverpool getting a little bit of a kick from winning against Leipzig, Everton's going to get a little spurt as well from those three. At the same time, I don't think it's going to be enough, and I think Liverpool will take care of business.
You mentioned what Carlo Ancelotti said. Jurgen Klopp kind of downplayed this earlier, but the reverse fixture of this is where Virgil van Dijk got hurt. Will Liverpool's players be thinking about that at all? Is that at all a factor in this?
Absolutely not. Liverpool have got other things to worry about right now without thinking about vendettas. And when you start doing that, that affects your game. When you start worrying about getting a kick at somebody or going around and trying to get one back on somebody, that's going to affect you. As I said, Liverpool got far too many other problems where they can do things like that. So I don't think it will have any bearing whatsoever.
Craig, speaking of those other Liverpool problems, it's basically been a coin flip over the last couple months which Liverpool we get. It's not really between good and bad. It's between feast and famine.
Yeah, and look, there's a clear fight for the top four here between a few teams, one of which, up until a couple of games ago, looked like it might be Everton. It might still be. But clearly, you know, Liverpool for sure are not going to catch City. There's a big question whether anybody will catch them, but certainly not from where Liverpool are. So there's a clear fight for the top four, and I think they'll be buoyed by their performance in midweek. But I'm with Stevie on this. Look, Allen is probably going to come back, but he's lacking match sharpness. Rodriguez is a talent, but he's not got the work rate, particularly away from home at a place like Liverpool. And Liverpool are going to get lots of the ball here because Everton do that home and away. They kind of sit off and they allow you. It's what Liverpool can do with it. And look, Everton, you know, they're such a hard team to read at times. A bit like Leicester in a sense. You know, Leicester have lost some crazy games this year, but they're still up there. Everton, I think they had 3 games in hand up until a week or 10 days ago, and then they lost at home to Fulham. They lost at home to City's kind of expected. They hung in there and then they got brushed aside. But I could see Liverpool getting a result here purely because they're going to dominate the game. And I think eventually they'll break Everton down. Of course, they've got to watch Calvert-Lewin, his pace in behind and running the channels. And that's a weak point for Liverpool at the moment. But I just feel with this top four looming as a real fight that Liverpool will get the job done here and could put a little run together to get themselves in there.
Shaka, Everton haven't beaten Liverpool since 2010, haven't won at Anfield since 1999. This feels like as good a chance as they're going to get.
Yeah, right now all records are falling as far as Liverpool is concerned, in particular over recent weeks that form at Anfield. Listen, I'm different from the boys here. I'm sitting on the fence, but leaning Everton. I just feel that as good a result as it was against RB Leipzig, maybe a little bit expected, especially given I thought RB Leipzig coming to this were a little bit light up front and maybe not threatening Liverpool anywhere near as much as you would have thought. But with Calvert-Lewin coming back in particular and still that makeshift centre-half pairing that Liverpool will be relying on in Kabak and Henderson, I just feel that there are goals for Everton here. And as I say, I'm sitting on the fence but leaning Everton. I just don't see a Liverpool win.
Shaka, why don't I'm confused, Sebi. Sebi, I'm confused here. Stevie, I don't know, but is it just me? I mean, I get out of bed too early this morning, but is he sitting on the fence, leaning on the fence, or is he going for Everton? What's he doing?
I was trying to figure it out myself, and I couldn't come up with an answer.
I'm thinking, let me just clear this up. I'm thinking draw, but if I had to pick one or the other and not sit on the fence, it's Everton.
All right, you have actually, Shaka, given us a
prediction. Because I know you don't like me sitting on the fence, Craig, that's all.
Well, nobody, I don't know if you're it. Sitting on the fence or leaning on the fence. I'm super confused here, but, you know.
There's a fence.
That'll be the next
There's
segment.
There's a fence, that's all. Just go with on. That. There's a fence in there.
Why don't we show people predictions? Stevie, I know I got a look at yours this morning. You said 3-1 Liverpool. Yep. That'd be a repeat of the 86 FA Cup, wouldn't it?
Absolutely,
somebody was on Wikipedia today. Look at that.
Hold on a minute. Shaka's gone from Liverpool in his prediction.
I think I might. Is that a typo?
I changed my mind. That was too early.
He's gone for Liverpool.
That was earlier today.
I've changed my mind since that.
He just said, the producer got in touch with him this morning, he's gone for Liverpool. Now he's just said he thinks it might be a draw, but if it's not a draw, he's leaning towards Everton.
I've changed my mind.
Fluid situation here on ESPN FC. Why don't we push along towards another big match this weekend? Of course, Manchester City really rolling right now. 17 straight wins across all comps, looking for 18 on Sunday when they visit Arsenal. Currently sit 10th, 22 points back of Manchester City. Craig, what's the approach for Arsenal if they're to get anything from this game?
Look, Arsenal are going to have to defend brilliantly, Sebi, of course. But I think, you know, to get anything, I mean, City are going to have an awful day at the office by the standards that they've set recently. It's been an amazing run. And again, they brushed off Everton, and particularly in the second half in midweek. They've got De Bruyne and Aguero available. They might even have Gundogan back from his problem from 10 days or so ago. Whether he'll be rest or not, I don't know. I would imagine he'll go back to his preferred partnership at the back of Stones and Diaz, all things being available. So he's got so many options, Guardiola. But everything doesn't matter when he puts a piece of the puzzle in. It does its job. Look, Arsenal have looked okay, particularly with the youngsters in the side. Smith Rowe and Saka and Odegaard. Tierney might be available again. I think he came off the bench in the Europa League. But it's all down to what Man City does. Because if Man City turns up and they play their stuff and they take their chances, you ain't winning the game. Simple as that. Mm.
Stevie, in the Europa League, Mikel Arteta used the same lineup he did on the weekend against Leeds. Seems like he's going all in on Europa League. Are you surprised by that?
Well, no, because I don't think he's got that many options, let's be honest.
They're not finishing top four, they're not finishing top six.
No, but, I mean, you look at this lineup: Odegaard, Ceballos, Smith Rowe, Saka. Now, Craig's talking about they're going to have to defend. You can't defend against Manchester City with these... With
so
these players. These players are all good with the ball going forward. They're not good when they're pushed back and they have to defend properly. You know, there's no Thomas Partey. So, does he play Elneny? And let's be honest, Elneny and Shaka in the middle of the park, defensively, is not particularly great either. So, does he attack? Because if he's going to play that same lineup, it's a different ball game playing against Benfica and playing against Leeds United than it is playing against a proper team in Manchester City. So, whichever way you want to slice it, Arsenal's getting nothing from this game.
It was interesting, Sebi, what Ancelotti's comments were after the game on Tuesday or Wednesday, whenever it was. A guy who's been there, seen it and done it all in various countries around the world with some of the biggest clubs, like you said, it's a head-scratcher, this City side at the moment, because you try and outplay them, and I don't think anybody's going to outplay them, and I mean in Europe. So you're going to come up stuck doing that. And you try to go physical and long and go long ball early, which he said they tried to do. And he says, they're so strong, you know, and they're up for the physical fight as well. And they've got, you know, Stones and Diaz and, you know, Kinsella and Ederson and Kyle Walker's a big guy, Rodri and Fernandinho. So they can have the fight in the scrap as well. So as Stevie said, I mean, it's hard to fathom out which way you're going to go about it. But Arsenal are not set up to be a defensive unit. It's not in their makeup of the players that they've got. But just how do you approach playing against this Man City side at the moment? That's the conundrum for almost every manager that they face week in, week out.
Shaka, I would ask if you remembered your prediction, but I don't have that much time in the segment, so we'll just go to your predictions. And you took Man City to win 3-0, as did Stevie Craig, seeing a 2-0 victory for the Citizens. All right, this trio is back for extra time. We take your questions straight off of Twitter. It'll be interesting to see what we get into today. Don't miss it.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Just the one match in the Bundesliga on Friday, and boy, did Wolfsburg take advantage. They win 3-0 over Arminia Bielefeld, Renato Steffen with a brace. Here's what it means for the Bundesliga table. Big, big win for Wolfsburg. It jumps them into third place over Eintracht Frankfurt and leaves them right now 7 points, quick math, behind league leaders Bayern Munich. Archie Rintut joins us for more here on ESPN FC. All right, this Bielefeld team, they gave Bayern Munich everything they could handle on Monday, and then today Wolfsburg wipes the floor with them. How good is this Wolfsburg team?
Exceedingly good defensively, especially right now, Seb, because they're over 11 hours without conceding in the Bundesliga, which is the longest they've ever gone in their history in the league. Also, this is their best defensive record, but you have to point out the work of Wout Weghorst up front. He scored 14 goals in the Bundesliga this season, but tonight he showed a completely different side to his game. The way that he's able to hold the ball up and really bring other teammates into the game tonight. You saw that particularly with the third goal from club legend and captain Maximilian Arnold as well. So Wout Weghorst is, I would say, the key player here and the reason why Wolfsburg have a very good chance of making it into the Champions League next season.
Archie, it's been 5 years since they made it into the Champions League, that great run to the quarterfinals against Real Madrid. Do you see them in the Champions League next year?
Right now, they're in an incredibly strong position ahead of this weekend as well, with Eintracht Frankfurt playing Bayern. It's a chance that the team behind them can drop points. Borussia Dortmund, even if they're playing against Schalke, they're in a position right now where they are not playing very convincingly every week in the Bundesliga. So I think, given the performances of the teams around them and given the fact that they are one of the best teams defensively in the league, I don't see why not.
You mentioned a couple games this weekend. Let's dive into them. Saturday, Frankfurt against Bayern Munich. Bayern tripped up on Monday. Frankfurt seems like the type of team that could trip them up again on Saturday.
Especially with Thomas Müller still out for Bayern right now. And at the back, they have Benjamin Pavard also out of this game as well. With Eintracht Frankfurt, every time I really think that they're going to really do well against Bayern, they end up choking a little bit. But right now, particularly with André Silva on 18 goals in the Bundesliga so far this season, I think it is, he is in second place, or in silver medal position right now, behind Robert Lewandowski in terms of the goal scoring charts. The form that he's been in, you would say that Eintracht Frankfurt really have a chance, even if they were smashed 5-0 by Bayern earlier in the season. Silva has a little bit of a back problem, so one or two question marks over whether he'll play. But if not, Luka Jovic comes in, and he's got a few points to prove, I think, in the Bundesliga after what happened at Real Madrid. Okay, he scored twice already on his Bundesliga return and has scored again since at Arminia Bielefeld. But so much going into this game, I think it's going to be a cracker.
Frankfurt Bayern then on Saturday. So is Borussia Dortmund and Schalke. Of course, Erling Haaland, what everybody's talking about. Certainly his performances in the Champions League after that brace against Sevilla midweek. Archie, it's crazy to say, but it seems like this kid steps up his game even more when it matters most and when Dortmund needs him most.
I have to say, even in empty stadiums, one of the things that has brought me real joy in the last few months has been watching Erling Haaland play football, because he has this ability that I don't think I've seen from really very many, if any, players in the Bundesliga who don't play for Bayern Munich to take games into his own hands and win them. He is an incredible player, and I think he will go on to shape the next decade or so of football that we're going to see alongside Kylian Mbappe. I think that if there are people who are going to replace Cristiano Ronaldo and Lionel Messi at the top of world football, then Erling Haaland is certainly one of them.
I guess the big question is, where will he do it? Do you think Dortmund can hold on to him this summer?
Depends. If you look at who his agent is in Mino Raiola, and the fact that Dortmund are struggling to qualify for the Champions League right now, they really need to beat Schalke tomorrow in what is already a big derby, the one of the biggest in Germany, you'd have to say that a lot hangs on Dortmund's Champions League qualification, because when you are already the player that Erling Haaland is at this stage of his career, then you can make certain demands of where you're playing your football. And I think that almost every team right now in the world would have him, probably except for Bayern Munich, because they've got quite a good guy up front right now as well. But that said, he's an amazing talent, and he proved that in the Champions League once again this week.
If they are going to get into the Champions League, Archie, you got to think that this is just a must win against the Schalke team. Not only is it your arch rival, but Schalke just buried at the bottom of the table.
Yeah, I thought that this victory that they got against Hoffenheim to break that duck of 30-odd games without a win, I thought that that might spur them on a little bit, but it hasn't in terms of results. I think there's been a lot, almost too much expectation on Matthew Hoppe to score goals when, to be honest, they don't create enough chances. And albeit there's a risk taken by Christian Gross right now, who has put Nabil Bentaleb back into the fold after he fell out of the fold for disciplinary reasons for the umpteenth time, there is still something about this game, even if it is behind closed doors. Schalke against Borussia Dortmund over the years has delivered some upsets that nobody saw coming. So whilst on paper, and particularly having been at Dortmund Schalke earlier this season and seen just how comfortable Dortmund were against Schalke, I find it very difficult to say outright that Dortmund will just go and blow Schalke away here, because whenever these two teams get together, strange things can happen.
Should be a fascinating weekend in the Bundesliga. Archie Rintat, thanks as always for the time. We'll leave you with a look at the bottom half of the Bundesliga table, and really way down at the bottom, Schalke right now, dead last place, 9 points from safety.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
top of Serie A looks like this heading into the weekend. Inter 1 point clear of their city rivals, AC Milan. Of course, the two set to meet Sunday at the San Siro. Just a massive match in terms of title ramifications. Now, they played 3 weeks ago in the Coppa Italia quarterfinals, an infamous dust-up between Zlatan Ibrahimovic, Romelu Lukaku. Well, it's now been turned into a mural outside of the San Siro, adding to the rivalry ahead of this great match. For more, we welcome in Adriano Del Monte. Usually he'd be in Milan, now in Australia, due to travel restrictions. No doubt, probably even still from Australia. Adriano, you can sense the buzz over this match, which must be, what, the biggest derby della Madonnina in over a decade?
It has to be, Sevi. What a massive derby della Madonnina it will be this weekend between two teams deservedly 1 and 2 in the league standings, and made a little more significant by that meeting last weekend, a couple of weeks back rather, between the two sides in that Coppa Italia. Lukaku and Zlatan will be the big headline going into this one. Both players at the top of their game, both teams really at the top of their game as well, despite a couple of slip-ups recently by the Rossoneri, but really a massive match, and it will be a decisive fixture when we talk the Scudetto race this season.
I got to think Inter are the favourite here, not just because they're leading in the table, but also because they've won 3 straight in the league. Just how much pressure is on Antonio Conte to win this match and really grab hold of the title race now?
Well, no doubt the Scudetto is Inter's to lose at this point. It must be noted that Inter Milan remain the only team in the top 7 at the moment without European football. And, well, in the year that it has been difficult for all, we know 16 matches between them and the Scudetto, while the likes of Milan, Juventus and the chasing pack are still competing in the Champions League and Europa League, certainly into overwhelming favourites. And you would imagine that 3 points this weekend well and truly puts them in the box seat. But Antonio Conte needs to get this win, add that little buffer to them over their crosstown rivals, and then really set themselves up for a massive final 15 games of the season.
You mentioned the lack of European football for Inter. AC Milan, meanwhile, they're in the Europa League. They had to play Thursday, 2-2 draw against Red Star Belgrade. How do you think that'll impact Stefano Pioli's approach to this game?
Well, we'll see what impact it has on the personnel front. Unfortunately, they did lose Bennacer, the key midfielder in that match, who only recently returned from injury. So certainly a big blow to Pioli. However, he was fortunate enough to rest a couple of his key figures, most notably Zlatan, who didn't feature in that one. Calhanoglu only played a couple of minutes off the bench late on. So look, I think Milan will be fresh enough, but quite clearly a trip to Belgrade in the Europa League a few days out before the biggest match of their season, not the ideal preparation, particularly in contrast to Inter Milan, who, of course, have had a full week to prepare.
Milan coming off that really disappointing defeat against Spezia as well in the league. Is this make or break? Is this effectively a must win for Milan if they are going to go on and challenge for this title?
I think it is very important. There's no doubt about that. Still 16 fixtures do remain, so we still have a half of the season to play. But if you look at Inter's fixture list after this match, if they can win and go 4 points clear, the next 10 matches that follow, they'll only take on 2 in the top 7. Very winnable for an Inter side. Again, the key point, without the distraction of European football. Should Milan go through in the Europa League round of 32, they'll obviously play an extra 2 matches in the month of March as well. So, yes, I do think this is an absolute must-win for the Rossoneri to, well, obviously maintain the pace and reclaim the lead from Inter Milan. So certainly more decisive, I feel, for Milan than Inter at this point.
Adriano, of course, is all so exciting because we might actually have a different champion in Serie A than Juventus. I wonder what's been the reaction in the Italian press to Juventus' horrible week, first losing to Napoli in the league and then the loss to Porto in the Champions League, other than crying about the Cristiano Ronaldo no pen.
Well, that's where I was going to start, because that has dominated the reaction and the fallout from that very disappointing and, as you said, horrible week overall, but disappointing defeat to Porto 2-1 there. Look, a bit of positivity about the fact that Federico Chiesa did get that away goal. Now, Juve have failed to get an away goal in the first leg of the round of 16 in the last couple of seasons prior to this one. So the tie well and truly is still alive, but we need to see a much improved Juventus, and that has now been the focus. Obviously, still a couple of weeks to go until the two teams meet in the return fixture in Torino. There is optimism, but is this a Juventus team good enough to win the Champions League this season? Well, based off that performance, probably not at this stage.
Adriano, thank you very much. Juventus gets Crotone on Monday. Maybe Juve can beat the bottom dwellers and improve their position in the table. A reminder, be one of our 851,000 subscribers over on our ESPN FC YouTube channel. Plenty of bonus material from the show there for you.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, well, that's all the time we've got for this edition of the show. Stevie, always good to be with you.
Thank you.
Got some time for questions from the fans? You better.
Want to know.
Extra time starts right now. Enjoy. What's up, everybody? Welcome to this Friday edition of Extra Time. Stevie Nichol, I'm Seb. We got Craig and Shaka with us as well. Good questions here. What a week. Finally, Champions League is back. Needed that.
Why did you look so serious there?
Well, because it's just, I'm so happy that it's back. It's been a long, cold, dark winter.
All right, okay.
And now I'm in studio with you talking Champions League. Stevie, during your playing days, speaking of, did Champions League matches always have the same buzz around them as they do nowadays? I'm guessing we're talking pre-pandemic. What made them so special?
To be honest with you, I didn't particularly notice because when I joined Liverpool, they were European champions. And I joined a culture that was about, it doesn't matter who you're playing, where you're playing, how many's there, how many dogs are or aren't there, you have to think about what you're going to be doing. And so all the stuff that went on around, I didn't really notice.
So you think it's a bigger spectacle now?
No, I wouldn't say it is. I mean, playing in front of 60,000 in Bucharest is fantastic. Right. In Bulgaria. I mean, probably the things I remember are the difference between going behind Iron Curtain, for example,
right?
You know, where
but that
there's no colour. You know, there's no flares. There's no colour. There's just everybody's in either green, brown, or black.
Yeah, but that would have been that way whether it was Champions League or not. That would have impacted.
Aye, right, those are the things I remember. There's no way. How do you go and play in Rome in front of again 60,000 people and it's not. It's
special.
Not exciting.
Right.
But
right.
That's not how you prepare. We're preparing to play another game.
Right. And your weekend experiences were pretty exciting too. I mean, you know, you weren't playing in an empty
again.
Small stadium.
You're well, again, same thing. You're preparing. So it's more about you're probably better asking fans.
Oh, yeah. That's a good shout. Stevie and Craig, were either of you torn to shreds by a very fast player in your playing days? Of course, the Mbappe Piqué incident comes to mind. What was the best strategy to stop speedsters, Craig?
Well, I didn't play fullback that minute. I played wing back quite a lot of times in my international career. And one guy that I thought was going to do it to me was Roberto Carlos, but it didn't actually happen when we played Brazil, probably because I used my nogger and I gave myself plenty of room so that he couldn't run in behind me. But actually, one player that I remember chasing, I think I've mentioned it before, was a young Craig Bellamy coming through at the time at Coventry City. So, yeah. And you learn to sort of position yourself. But if you get caught in a straight fight with somebody like that, for me, I was always going to come out second best.
Mm. Is that just it, Stevie? Like protecting yourself so you don't get burned?
Yeah, absolutely. Take them to where there's more bodies. And that way, if you're lucky, you can pass them on to somebody else.
Is there a guy that comes to mind?
There was one guy that I remember that and I'm talking about my best. Listen, when you're hitting 34, 35, you're playing fullback, everybody seems fast to you. But at my best, I played against a guy who played for Real Madrid called Gordillo, and I couldn't figure him out.
The guy not was, just speed, it was everything else?
I couldn't figure him out. And so that's all I did. I did exactly what Craig did. Mm-hmm. I didn't get too close, I dropped off, and then I tried to take him inside to where all the traffic is, so that, as I said, maybe you can pass him on. But yeah, he was the only guy I just never could work out.
We saw the new rivalry sort of develop this week between Mbappe and Haaland. Haaland saying after he saw the hat trick, he was inspired to get his brace or whatever. Take it with a grain of salt. The next question, though, did you guys have any sort of rivalry in your playing days? And did good performances from your rival spur you on to do better? I don't know if this is like an individual rival or a team rival. Shaka, you ever have a rival? Seemed like a pretty nice guy.
Not in that regard. And certainly keepers don't see it that way. Probably the only, or as close as I've come to having a rival in that respect, and it's nowhere near the context of Mbappe and Haaland or Messi, Ronaldo, would be Mark Schwarzer. And only because he was also not English. He joined Middlesbrough in the Northeast just around the time that I joined Newcastle. So apart from that, you know, that was it. Nothing else, really.
Craig, any rivalries in the Burley household?
Well, this is my biggest rival at the moment. This is the newest arrival, Bentley, and he's my biggest rival. I'll tell you why. Because he's still pooping in the house.
That's why. Need some training.
See, that's the problem. Big dogs, big poops.
Is that how it goes?
Oh, why?
What, are you a doctor now?
No, I've got a big dog and all.
Anybody that comes to mind for you? Like somebody who you measured yourself against or something like that?
No, not at all.
Nobody could compare to Steve Nicol.
No, he told you before. When you start thinking along those lines about either a player or a team you're playing against, then it's going to affect you.
Yeah.
And generally, if you're taking your eye off the ball to get ahead of somebody or kick somebody or do something against them just because it's a rival, then it's going to affect you, so no.
I always wonder, I think maybe this is where the question's going, if it's like somebody that beat you out for a job and then you kept tabs on them for the rest of your career and measured yourself against it. But
I kind of think that's an internal from your own mind, Sebby.
You think I'm projecting here?
You went for a job and somebody else got it.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. It's like me and Dan Thomas. No, let's say you were on the same team with somebody else.
I know,
you
what, a, you I know what a rival is.
No, you thought you were better than them. And
I know
they
what
got
a rival is.
Okay, whatever. This is not going well for me.
Hold on, I've got a dictionary here. Well, let me look it up. No. Rival.
Sebi.
So if somebody's on your team and
yes,
you're
Craig.
Not...
Sebi, as you know, life is not a meritocracy.
Yes, as I know, right.
No, I mean, in general.
Right.
Jobs and everything. It's not a meritocracy. It's just down to an opinion of somebody else.
The people.
People.
Stevie, how does it make sense for a club legend in Jamie Carragher to refer to Liverpool as a stepping stone for youngsters like Mbappe ahead of a move to Real Madrid or Barcelona? And how can youngsters view both clubs as their destination given their condition? Carragher didn't exactly say that, but because we looked up the quote, but he kind of went down that road.
He did. I find it strange he does it now, though. If he had done it, 3 years ago, and you know, just around when Coutinho was leaving, because before that was Suarez, and then you couldn't argue with it.
Right.
But why would you not want to play for the European champions and the Premier League champions?
Do you think we'll see Liverpool go back to those era, or do you think that like we're done with that? Or you think eventually we'll get to a place where they are selling?
I don't think we'll see that sort of dominance from them again. You know.
Oh, no. I'm talking about where they're selling their biggest players to, I don't want to say bigger clubs, but other big clubs, like they did before, and now you're saying they're not doing. You think they'll go back to that, or do you think at this point Liverpool is in that stratosphere?
I think Liverpool right now are in as good hands financially as they've ever been. And so I don't see how they're not going to go back to winning. And if somebody is going to go, I think it's going to be all about just their preference to want to leave the club, as opposed to Liverpool actually looking to sell players to make money. I don't see Liverpool as a team that are bringing players in to sell them to make money. They're bringing players in to win titles.
Yeah. Craig, favorite memory from working at Euro 2012?
Euro 2012. Oh.
Can you remember that far back? That's a while. That's like 9 years.
Probably the train journey from Warsaw to Gdansk. Probably. I think I did. I'd have to look, but I can never remember results in some of these tournaments.
Spain won it.
But I think... Yeah, I know Spain. I know who won it. But I think I did. I might be wrong, but I think Spain played Italy.
Yep, in the final.
Was it in the final?
Wasn't it?
Right.
Yeah.
You're asking me. I can't even remember what I did yesterday.
So I know I did one of the Spain games in the group stages, and it was unbelievable. But
what about the train?
I don't know.
What was on that train that was so special?
Not a lot. Trains in Poland are not. I tell you what, it was a great place. So my favourite memory of the Euros was Gdansk, actually.
Gdansk did not have that on the travel list, but no.
Why? Gdansk is a really, really nice place.
Yeah,
honestly. But I don't remember much about the tournament, to be honest.
Saw the news that the NASA, I mean, way off the rails here, NASA rover Perseverance landed on Mars successfully. Do you guys want to visit Mars and or space? Is there anyone on ESPNFC crew you would like to send to Mars permanently? I'm guessing that's one place Shaka hasn't partied at yet. Shaka, as our resident NASA expert, were you all over this Mars landing?
I don't understand your previous comment, though, Sebi, about that's one place. I don't know
why that was you're buying into this
wild speculation and rumours, Sebi.
I thought he'd made it to there a couple of occasions, but...
No. Shaka, that was in the question. That was not Sebi ad-libbing.
Somebody's really thought about that, haven't they?
Yeah.
I think he got beamed down from the moon today with that prediction on the Liverpool game.
Oh. That was
the moon man.
I started to giggle when Stevie said he can't remember what he did yesterday. I'm like, I've got your beat there.
Sebi, I tell you what, I'm really intrigued if there's life on Mars, you know that?
You are, really? I would have pegged you as probably the least interested in it.
I'm not.
Can't be bothered.
Now. I can't believe you even bought that, you
can't
dope.
Can't be bothered.
He couldn't upset anybody if we went to Mars then, could he?
You're right. No. You're right. How would we get
your answer? Yeah. There's your second answer.
Yeah, who would Craig grow his beard out for?
Because he couldn't upset anybody.
All right, one person from the
FC. You can't play golf in Mars, can you?
You could lie about your handicap.
Hold on a minute. Were you listening to a word I just said there?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, they played golf on the moon. Sorry, what were you saying?
Sure, exactly. You never listened to one single word. I told you the answer to the second part of the question would be Craig going to Mars because it couldn't upset anybody because there'd be nobody there.
You'd send
and
Craig.
Then you just kept talking and looking at me as if I'd said nothing.
Stevie, that's one of the reasons why he never moves any further up the ladder here at this ESPN FC show.
Clearly. Yeah, that is definitely the reason.
Stuck on the second rung of the ladder for reasons like that.
That's right.
Doesn't listen.
Permanently.
Doesn't listen.
Shaka's having a good laugh at this. Permanently on the bench. Well, we all know why I'm second to Dan Thomas. It's because of his pronunciations. He's just so good at it.
You've anointed yourself as second to Dan Thomas now, haven't you?
Yeah, exactly. Hey. Got a high opinion of yourself, Seba.
Hey, calling all the other presenters of ESPN FC.
There are only...
They actually asked me to step in with
that
Mazzell one.
Is that how desperate
before
they
you
are?
Came, huh?
Really? Yeah.
So... Don't get too carried away.
It's not a... Yeah, I get it.
Right. They asked Frank LaBeouf to do it, and he can barely speak a word of English.
Oh, man.
I mean, basically, they asked a guy who nobody understands what he says.
Mm-hmm.
Over you.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
I mean...
Yeah. I appreciate that. It's going to be a long weekend of soul searching.
They
build this ego back up until I'm
salsa dancing.
Maybe there's maybe the second best host will be in next week. That's what it'll be. The true second best host of FC will be back. Well, it's not me.
No, we know that. I just want to do it.
Yeah. Well, it's got to be. I mean, Kay is the only other
person who's hosted the show.
Well,
the last
obviously
year,
the
right?
second the second best wasn't available. Neither was the third, and neither was the fourth.
So I'm not even in the Champions League spots of ESPN.
No, you're out. You're playing for the Europa League of FC presenters at this moment in time.
All right, well,
you need to up your game, son.
I tell you what, actually, the drummer for the Muppets has just been let go. Maybe he'll. Maybe he's a headache.
Thank you. All right, well, before I get relegated, let's end extra time. We'll leave it
what
there.
What do you mean before?
You're right. It's quite clearly already happened. ESPN FC will be back with its preferred host throughout the week.